Thank you for tuning in to our online sermons. I'm Pastor Brandon Walters, and I pray this message will bless and encourage you today.
Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hosea, chapter 13. And today we conclude the journey we've been on for the last couple of months. And I have thoroughly enjoyed going through the book of Hosea. And I was thinking this week, if I could really just kind of conclude or summarize the entire book. There were sermons where, obviously, he was preaching against the sin. He was calling them out. And that's good preaching, amen? And you need to always make sure that you go to a church that calls sin what it is, sin. And we don't beat around the bush. We want to make sure that we are perfectly in line with what God's Word says, with what His Scripture says. But if I could really summarize the entire book of Hosea, I would summarize it with the word hope. All throughout the last several chapters, you hear Hosea preaching. He's calling them out for the sin that they're living in. And yet, he always comes back around to, but if you just seek, if you return. And those are wonderful words. Because it really speaks to me this way. It means that we are never too far gone for God to take us back. What a wonderful testimony that is. Really, as we conclude this morning, I want you to see, and we've talked about the graphic imagery up until this point, but I'm just going to be honest. Chapter 13 is as graphic as it gets. And I want you to make the connection that we have this morning. I said I wasn't going to preach a Mother's Day sermon today, but we've titled the sermon, The Backslider's Way Home. And then I thought, just for fun, what we ought to do is just call it Backsliding Mothers, amen? But we won't do that today. We're going to talk really as a whole, backsliders as Christians. How can they return home? And so I want you to join me in chapter 14, verse number 1. We're going to cover chapters 13 and 14, and you're really going to see the contrast there. But we're going to read our main passage from chapter 14 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. There it is again. All throughout this book, there has been this one simple message. Just go back to Jesus. Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Once again, I just want to stop right there for a moment. Every single one of us in this room this morning have stumbled in our sin. Amen. And yet God loves us. God forgives us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for those truths in the Bible. But as Hosea continues to preach, we read verse number 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, and thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And then verse number 4 is really where I want us to focus this morning. I will heal their, what's that next word? Backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done, and Lord, we're thankful for the movement we felt already in the service, and I'm grateful for the singing that we've heard, the young people, the congregation. It uplifts my heart. But Lord, we want to focus on your word for a few moments here. We know today is a special day to just remind our mothers how much we love and appreciate them, and many have plans this afternoon, no doubt, to spend time with their mothers. And Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunities we have to have those moments. And Lord, I pray that for our church, we have a generation of godly mothers that will love and raise and bring up their children in your love. But Lord, I pray that you continue to help us as we conclude the book of Hosea to see the words, the sermon that was brought forward here. And Lord, I pray that if it maybe speaks to somebody's heart this morning, that they would turn and return back unto you. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The last two chapters, once again, are like daylight and darkness, what you're going to notice here today. Chapter 13 is full of horrors, if you will, and we didn't necessarily read it, and so I'm going to kind of go over that here for just a few moments, but it really pictures the doom at the hands of Assyria. And then we come to chapter 14, and chapter 14 is a picture of hope and the joys that can come if the people will only repent. And when we look at chapter 13, I want you to just notice some of the horrors that we're subject to here. In fact, it was a terrible day in 722 when God destroyed his own people by letting them be captured and carried into exile by Assyria. God's word for this was death. Chapter 13 begins at verse number 1. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself and Israel. What the Bible is saying here, in other words, the southernmost tribe that once stood tall, that once had all of this influence among the tribes of Israel and the nations of the world. But the verse continues on and it says this, but when he offended in Baal, he died. In this last recorded message, Hosea pictures the horrors once again of that day. He says they will disappear like the dew or the smoke from a chimney, and you read about that in verse number 3. He says they will be helpless victims of a wild animal with their chest ripped open, and you read about that in verses 7 and 8. And boy, let me tell you what, I love going outdoors, and I love going to the mountains, and I love hunting, amen? I know it's Mother's Day, gentlemen, but that was your one chance right there. We're going to need some special counseling. I love to hunt, and I've often had this thought. I've seen bears out in the woods. I've seen lions, and you know, your mind just begins to run. If I were ever to be attacked by an animal, I would rather it be a mountain lion. The reason being is you've read stories, and I'm not saying that I want to be attacked by that. Let's clarify that very quickly this morning. But I've read stories of men that will be attacked by a lion, and they will fight back, and the lion are used to hunting deer, and usually when they grab a deer, there's no resistance. It's dead. It knows it's dead. There's no fight back. But I've read stories of men that will fight back against a mountain lion attack, and they will survive. But a bear, on the other hand, I want no business with a bear. I don't mind looking at him from a safe distance. Even with a weapon in my hand, I don't mind looking at him. But the Bible says here in verse chapter 13, verse 7 and 8, that it's going to be a bear. And that's what he's referencing there. It's going to rip them open. And once again, you need to understand the graphic imagery that's going on here. And what we read and see throughout the entire book of Hosea is really there's three types of Israelites that went through this horror. And they are the three kinds of people that we find in our church today. This is just by way of introduction. This isn't in your notes, but the type of people that he's referencing, first of all, would be those that are born again. These are the type of people you read about in Hosea's day and age. They lived there. They went through what all was going through. They were born again, and they were true, faithful believers. And obviously, we think of Hosea. We think of Amos and Isaiah. And these were people who saw the corruption in the church. But praise God, they did not partake in the corruption of the church. There are times when true Christians must suffer because they are part of a nation or a church which experiences the judgment of God. And that's what we see here. The second type of people we see were the truly bad. And these would be bad people because their hearts had never been changed by the love of God. And we understand and know them to be lost people. They're bad. They have religion in this world. And you can go almost to any city, any state, any country, and you will be encountered with some type of religion. But let me just say this. The Bible says that there is only one way to get to heaven. There's many religions, and there's many people who think they're secure, and there's many people who think they know where they're going when they die, and there's many people who have this understanding. But as we've read in the book of Hosea, and we come to this understanding, they are nothing more than bad people or lost people. And the third type of people we see here is those that we would consider backslidden Christians. Now, let me explain what I mean when I say backslidden. Maybe that was your thought right there. Well, who are the backslidden? What does that mean? When we think of backsliding in the church, it means this. They are children of God who have drifted away or disobeyed God directly. Friend, I'm just going to be honest with you. There is a lot of backsliding going on today. There are people who are going further and further away from God and His Word. There are people in this world, oh, they hate sin. They hate what it does. They hate everything about it. They hate their new nature, they hate sin because they have their new nature and it won't let them love it, but they continue to practice sin. And thus they spend their lives ashamed and afraid and miserable. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I believe that among the unhappiest people on earth today are Christians who have backslidden. I remember growing up and got to talk to my dad quite often, and questions would come into my mind about church and lost people. And around the time that I knew that I was lost, I remember asking my dad questions. It seems that the lost people are just partying, does it not? It seems like the world around us is just having a good time, and they have no problem living in their sin, and they have no issue. And I remember asking my dad, "Dad, why is it that Christians struggle when they sin?" He said, "It's because we have the Holy Spirit now. Now that we've put our faith and trust in Christ, that the Holy Spirit convicts us and He won't allow us to live in our old lifestyle." And when we think about the world, and maybe this will answer some questions for you today, why does it seem like the world is just constantly getting more and more wicked? Why are they trying to indoctrinate our families? Why are they doing this? It's because they are dead and they have no conception or idea that they are dead. It's because they are blind and they have no realization that they are blind. But when Christians put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our eyes have been opened, we've been given new life, and now we ought to live different. And when we think about a backsliding Christian, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:9, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." I've often said that getting saved was the greatest thing I could ever do in this life. Allowing Jesus to change my life was the best single moment I've had in this life. And since that time, I want to be very clear with you. I have not lived a perfect life. I still sin because I'm flesh. I still struggle. There are times that I know I should be doing something different. And yet, just like Paul said, the flesh wants to do that which it knows we should not do. And so for me to go through life, I just understand this thought. There have been times in my life where I have allowed the world, I have allowed things to come between me and Christ. And that's exactly what we see with the people in the book of Hosea. Chapter 13, it's horrific. It's got all of this imagery, and we see what's getting ready to happen, and we see all of these things. And friend, I just want to say this today. It was a big deal to God back then. I would pretty much conclude that that's why chapter 13 was written in that day, because this was a big deal. People walking away from God, people who were lost, and that's why Hosea preached this message. And I'm just going to say this. I'm going to take a guess, and I think it's very educated, but I'm going to say this. I believe that it's still a big deal to God today. It's still a big God today. And we read through chapter 13. You can study it out a little bit more. And it's horrific. But it's followed by chapter 14. And I'm so glad the story doesn't end in chapter 13 with all of the horrors that are getting ready to come. But it begins in chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. We see that God makes a special appeal to the backslidden saints, and God asks them to return to Him in chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And then in verse number 4, you read this word, "I will heal their backsliding." Friends, I want to preach to you today on this subject, the backslider's way home. Once again, we're never too far gone for God to want us to return, for God to love us to the return. But I believe you'll see today that there comes a point in time where you have wandered far enough, you've denied Christ long enough, that He will be finished with you on this earth. And so I want to take notice this morning. Brother Rick, I don't have my clicker, but if you would, go ahead and just forward those for me. First of all, the backslider's route. I want you to take notice of this morning. This is back in chapter 13, and this takes place in really verses 4 through 7. And backsliders take one of two routes away from the Lord. And like Lot really comes to mind as I study this passage of Scripture. He inched away from God little by little. And there's really two thoughts there. Letter A is this. It comes through slow deterioration. There's one of two paths. This is the first one. And once again, I think of Lot when I come to this passage of Scripture. Genesis 13 gives us a little insight onto the decisions that Lot made. The Bible says in verse number 10 and 11, and these verses are in your notes, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan." I remember one preacher friend used to say this. He was there, standing there with Abraham, and one preacher used to say this, that Abraham got Lot out of Egypt, but he never got Egypt out of Lot. And here he gives Lot a decision. He's basically saying, we're going to go our separate ways. I'll go left if you want to go right, or I'll go this way if you want to go that way. But notice what the Bible says there in verse number 10. Lot lifted up his eyes. He wasn't looking left or right. He looked straight ahead. And the Bible is telling us that he saw the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. In verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. It was a slow deterioration that Lot chose, because you read a few chapters later, he is now in the city. He is working in the city. The people have affected his family in the city. And all of this comes because he decided to inch further and further away from Jesus Christ. And in verse 2 in chapter 13, the Bible says this, they sin more and more. The backslider's route usually doesn't just happen. We see the first path there is a slow deterioration. And when we read through the Scriptures, even people that we've met in this life, we see that the second path, however, often is like David's path. David out of lust, or we think of Simon Peter out of fear, they take the second path that we see, and that is the path of sudden defection. Some great temptation comes along and sweeps you off your feet, and before you know it, you are walking the road of shame. These are really the two paths we see when we think of the backslider's route. Either way, I want you to understand the common denominator and the real problem. It lies in the fact, as Hosea says, they forgot God. When you forget God, bad things are going to happen in your life. When you, maybe like Lot, have just slowly moved away here and there, or you slowly allowed the world to take root in your home, or you slowly allowed these ideologies to take place in your marriage, you are inching further and further away from God. Or maybe something just happens out of the blue, and all of a sudden you just give in to your base instinct of being flesh and being a man, just like David, just like Peter. The one thing I want you to understand is this. I've heard people say this before. It just happened. It doesn't just happen. There's a process to get you to that point. The slow deterioration, we understand it's just by allowing little things here and there. The sudden defect, I would say it's because you've thought about it over time and you've dwelt upon sin in your life, and now you have the opportunity right in front of you, so you take it. Somebody once said this, the saddest thing is for someone to find success out of the will of God. And I'm going to tell you, just off of what I've seen as a pastor, what I've seen as a youth pastor, typically when Christians backslide, it's because they are finding success out of God's will. Now, I don't wish anybody failure in here today. I want you to succeed. I want you to do it the way that God has fit for your life, though. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of the worst things that could happen to you in this life is maybe you get a promotion at your job. Maybe you have begun to invest and you're earning money, and there's nothing wrong with money, but sometimes these are the worst things that can happen to you in this life. You've got a pay raise. You've got a promotion. Maybe even from others in here today, it's the fact that you had children. Now, let me explain what I mean when I say that. Children are wonderful, amen? Children are a blessing from the Lord. Mothers understand that. Mothers know that. We that are here today that have had Christian godly mothers should thank our moms or appreciate them very much today for the impact they had in our life. But sometimes what I've noticed is something will come into somebody's life, say a child, into the life of a mother, and basically that then replaces God. Could be a new job, it could be children, it could be health. There's a lot of things that we'll try in this life, and many times we get to a place where we'll look back and realize we have forgotten God. That is the backslider's route that we're seeing this morning, and I want to say this, when we let God's blessings hide God, we become just like the godless people all around us, and we commit the terrible sin of ingratitude. Men and women made in God's image, they see His beautiful sunsets, they breathe His fine air, they live in the marvelous body that He made for them, and yet most of them give no more thought to loving God than a cow that's grazing out in a meadow. This is the backslider's route. But secondly, I want you to notice with me the backslider's ruin. There in chapter 13, certainly closing these chapters, they have a message for all kinds of church members. We who are born again and are honestly trying to serve the Lord are never completely innocent. We need to understand that today. And yet, there's times in our life that we're never 100% in the will of God. So we need to heed the warnings of chapter 13 and yet the words of chapter 14. Those inside and outside the church who are lost this morning come to God for salvation, just like Christians come back to God for sanctification, for repentance. But I want to issue a call this morning to true believers who, for one reason or another, have adopted a second class, a lower level, if you will, a powerless and joyless lifestyle. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you won't go to hell when you die, but you will go through a lot of unnecessary damage in this life if you begin to inch away from Jesus Christ. And so there's three thoughts that I see here along the lines of the backslider's ruin, and I want you to notice with me, first of all, you may go through disasters in this life. If you are backsliding and inching away from Christ, there are some things that typically point out, there's some faults that we can typically see, and if you see these in your life this morning, then maybe you need to ask God to help you come closer to Him. But you may go through some disasters in this life. Like the fall of Israel, you were never intended to endure. When David committed adultery and murdered, he didn't lose his salvation. Amen. We believe in eternal security here. We preach and teach that. However, there are times that Christian people don't act like Christians. We see that even in the Scriptures. David was a prime example. In Psalms 51, he tells us that he lost the joy of his salvation. What a disaster that is for Christians to have to admit. And yet there are people all around us today that would claim to be followers of God, that would claim to be believers of God, and yet they have no joy in their life. Well, it could be this reason right here. Maybe they're backsliding. Maybe they're allowing sin to come between them and God. And one reason when we study the life of David was that he never experienced a minute's peace while he was in sin. You study the life after he committed that terrible sin. His life was going downhill. His family was a mess. The Bible talks about a baby that was born of that unholy union. It died in 2 Samuel chapter 12. His son Amnon raped Tamar, David's daughter, and his half-sister. Tamar's brother Absalom, David's own son, killed Amnon 2 years later. Then he was killed by David's soldiers when he tried to dethrone David. And I want you to understand this. Disobedience in the life of a Christian only leads to disaster this morning. Unfortunately, we saw that in the life of David, and we use that as an example. And yet so many people still choose to live a life away from Christ. Dedication to the will of God, I want you to understand on the other side, dedication to the will of God does not grant immunity from the terrible disasters that can befall us. I talked about that song this morning, Jesus, Bring the Rain. And we even talked about that in our men's Bible study. Men, I understand, and people that are here today, I understand the Bible talks about trials and storms that'll come, and they're really to better us as Christians. But usually my prayer is, Lord, if I can avoid those storms, I'd be okay with that. If I'm being honest this morning, it doesn't mean that if we're walking with the Lord, reading our Bible every day, praying, that those storms will not come into our life. It doesn't give us that immunity. So when you leave here today and you see somebody who's living a life of disaster, don't just immediately conclude that they are backslidden Christians. Amen? I think we need to focus a little more on our own lives this morning. And yet, just the same, there are times that people will just allow a wicked lifestyle to dictate their future. They'll allow it to dictate how their kids come. And I understand, just like I admitted there, I don't want to add any avoidable problems into my life, but that's exactly what a lot of Christians do this morning. The sword of trouble comes to you as it did to David. It comes to your mind. It comes to your body. It comes to your family. It even comes into your business or your workplace because you have chosen in many areas to walk contrary to the will of God. You may go through disasters in this life, but secondly, you may go through death. The word death here can mean physical death. God won't send one of his children to hell, but the Bible teaches he will send us to heaven early. In the church at Corinth, the people went from bad to worse. They got so bad that they got drunk at the Lord's Supper, and Paul said God sent the judgment of disease and death because of this. And he said in 1 Corinthians 11:30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, I want to be very clear. He wasn't talking about sleeping in a bed. He wasn't talking about they were sleeping through the sermon, as some of you may be doing right now. He wasn't talking about that. He was saying there is something about these people, and they're going to go away from God. They're not going to be sleeping in a bed, but what I'm referencing this morning is they are physically dead. And let me tell you something about sin in a Christian's life this morning. Satan is never satisfied with just a little dab. He wants to cover us from head to toe, and he wants to drag us down, really down to the horrible depths. And we read in chapter 13 of some of the horrible sins that take place. You get no farther than verse number 2, and the Bible says that they sin more and more. They offer human sacrifices and kiss the calf of the idols. And all of this is taking place because they are walking and inching away from Christ. And once Satan has us in the power, God alone knows how far down he can drag us. And that's when God sometimes steps in after we refuse to repent and takes our life. Once again, not everyone who dies young does so because he is outside of the will of God. We read about Jesus, God's own son, around the age of 32. He died. We think of Stephen, the young martyr in the book of Acts. This proves that thought. But I wonder, of all the funerals that I've attended, I remember growing up on a reservation, my dad buried more young people than he did adults. I wonder how many of those God took because they simply went too far. They wouldn't repent. It makes you wonder. You may go through disaster in this life. You may go through death. But let us see, you may go through spiritual deadness. And I would tend to think that this is the saddest of them all. I certainly do not mean you can die spiritually. But Jesus said the new life he gives us is eternal. And brother, if it can ever end, then it isn't eternal in this life. But we can watch our children, mothers, I want you to pay attention right here. We can watch our children live physically and be dead spiritually. Because they have no godly influence in their life. We can go through this life and we can see people we love and we pray for, and there's nobody around them to kind of take them under their wing and help guide them, and yet they are just walking through this life as a zombie. There's a lot of spiritual deadness this morning. There's a lot of things that are going on, and this is the backslider's ruin that we're talking about that we see here in chapters 13 and 14. The Assyrian soldiers of disaster or death or the spiritual death of those we love can come knocking on our door. But aren't you glad once again that Hosea does not conclude with chapter 13 this morning? I want to draw the contrast as we bring this to a close. We talk about the ruin, we talk about the route that they're on, but really when we conclude this chapter, you're going to see that there is an opportunity to return unto Jesus. There is an opportunity for restoration. If you're a Christian here this morning and you're so glad for those opportunities, would you say amen this morning? Amen. I want you to see, lastly, the backslider's return. We get to chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let's read those again. The Bible says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes when we pray and ask for forgiveness, we only ask God to forgive certain sins because we're so comfortable in other sins in our life. Does that make sense? God, if you take these sins away, don't worry about these. I've got them under control. But what Hosea was saying here is take away all iniquity. Take away all sin. Some of us need to hit our face this afternoon and pray, God, take away all the sin in my life. I want nothing between my soul and the Savior. As I try to return, I have backslidden. I have gone away, but I'm ready to come home. The Bible goes on in verse 3, Ashur shall not leave us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. We live in a culture that has adopted the name cancel culture. The thought is this, you mess up 10, 15 years ago, they'll track it through social media, they'll do whatever they can, that you can get fired from your job. Yeah, you made fun of this particular group of people, you said this about them, you're no longer welcome in our society. We've seen famous news people get fired, get let go, all because of this. Friend, I'm just going to tell you this morning, if somebody digs hard enough and long enough, they're going to find sin in every single one of our lives this morning. But I'm so glad 10 years ago I sinned and I messed up. God doesn't look at me right now and said, you remember this date? Mother's Day, 2013, do you remember? You messed up, you did this. I can no longer take you back. I'm so glad that's not God's response. He says, I will heal their backsliding. There's really a few words that bring this to a close for me. In order for us to return, I want you to see, first of all, it's going to take some responsibility. Every mother that's in here this morning has preached that to their children. Be responsible. Clean your room. Amen, mothers? We want them to do their chores. The saddest thing for me as a youth pastor was seeing teenagers, 13, 14, 15 years old, that did not know how to use a broom, that did not know how to mop a floor. I remember taking some of my teen boys and I tried to help them change a car tire because when I was young, my mom took a road trip and my dad was not with us, and so he took me out front and said, if there's a flat on the car, this is how you're going to replace it. Showed me where the tools were, how to do it, because he was trying to make us responsible. And in order for some of us Christians to return back into the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ this morning, it's going to take some responsibility. These are among the last recorded words, once again, Israel heard before she died. And what words they were. Hosea made one more cast of the gospel net, telling lost sinners and backslidden Christians that God is only a prayer away. External religion is not the way back to God this morning. We need to understand that. But yet, Hosea says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. And what words? Words are, first of all, our responsibility. We need to maybe take some time today and pray and ask for forgiveness. Got to be responsible. The day you came to Jesus Christ, you had to humble yourselves and take on some responsibility and allow God to just understand, I am sinner, I am lost, I am on my way to hell. I can't do anything about that. I need you. And that's the same prayer we see David make in Psalm 51. He lost his joy. He went away because of sin. He had to come back to God. Restore unto me. I've often heard it quoted this way. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. The Bible says this, thy salvation. He's saying, God, I need what only you can give. We need to take some responsibility. We need to confess some things to God. And there's times in this life we neglect prayer and we neglect worship and holiness and live outside the will of God in many, many areas. Because of this, we cannot pray with power and we cannot claim God's protection. And Satan tears us apart, as we reference in chapter 13, like a wild animal, like a lion, like a bear. And in verse number 9 of chapter 13, he says, Israel, you are destroyed because you are against me. Friend, once again, anytime we're against God, that's not a good place for us to be. Anytime we're in opposition of God, it's not a good place for us to be. It's time for us to take responsibility for our homes. Mothers, it's time to take responsibility for our kids. Because as we talked about, you can go through this life, watch your kids live a physical, healthy life, and yet they are spiritually dead. And I would just say this to all those mothers that have done that. You have failed at your job. There's a lot of graphic words here, and there's a lot of graphic language, but I want you to notice we got to be responsible. Secondly, I want you to notice there's repentance involved. Amen. Chapter 14, verse number 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord, saying to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. When a lost person comes to God for salvation, God puts two desires in that person's soul. The desire is to be forgiven, and the desire then also comes to be changed and made into a better person. When we think back on our own personal salvation, it was probably because we were stumbling and living in sin, and we realized that we were on our way to hell, amen? And we prayed, and we wanted God to change some things in our life. We wanted him to give us a new direction, and that was the desire we got through repentance. And now listen to what Hosea says there in verse number 2. Again, take with you words and turn to the Lord. He's saying our first cry is for forgiveness. But as the verse goes on, receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. He's saying our second is this, it's for faithfulness. We want to be and do good as Christians, or we ought to, amen, because of what God has done for us. I won't spend a lot of time on repentance this morning, but I understand this. Repentance is wonderful in the life of a new Christian. It shows them that they were dead, they were living a life. I've talked to many people in this life. Many times you'll go to the store on a Sunday and you'll be dressed nice, and people will ask you, where are you going? Why are you dressed so nice? And it's very easy for you to just tell them, I'm going to church, why don't you come with me? I'll never forget, I was at a gas station Sunday morning. I was coming into church, and the lady said, well, you look nice today. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. And come to find out, her kids came to our Wednesday night program. And I began to talk to her a little bit about the thought of church and salvation, and she made one comment I'll never forget. She said, God can't change me. What a sad thought that is. But I simply and just very quickly reminded her, if God can change a man like Paul, God can save all of us, and God can change us. What a wonderful thought repentance is for a new believer. The last thought that I see this morning from chapter 14 is the reception. We see the work, the responsibility, the repentance. Here we see the reception in chapter 14, verse 2, and the Bible uses these words, receive us graciously. Hosea says we need words of reception. More than ever, we need the unmerited grace of God in our lives. I believe that. Because it is far worse, we need to understand, it is far worse for a child of God to sin than for a lost person to sin. The lost person is blind. They cannot see the full importance of what he or she does. And Paul says that they are dead in sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, God told Jonah, the pagans of Nineveh, didn't know their right hand from their left. And we see that Jesus said of his murderers, they know not what they do. And yet there are Christians today that are living in misery because they understand they have new life. They have a new purpose. They have all of these things going on in their life, and yet for some reason, it always seemed like sin calls us back, does it not? What God saved us from, there are people in here that have gone through addictions, they've gone through things like that, and we repented. We wanted no more of those, and yet 2, 3, maybe 5, 10 years down the road, just out of nowhere, it seems that that temptation comes back into our life. And we think, God, we got saved so you can deal with this. Maybe what we don't realize is we're not taking our spiritual life as serious as we should. There's words here of responsibility, repentance, reception, and I'm so glad that in chapter 14 we see this overwhelming theme throughout the book of Hosea. We can always return to God. I have a picture of a lady by the name of Elizabeth Barrett. She married a man by the name of Robert Browning, and her name then became Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She married this man, and she did so over the objections of her parents. She broke their hearts, and they responded by disowning her. Her tender heart was broken. She never gave up loving her mom and dad, and she tried to reconcile with them. And over the course of several years, every week, she would sit down, and she would pour her heart into a letter, trying to make things right with mom and dad, and she would tell them of how much she loved them and how much she wanted to see them, and this went on for about 10 years, and all she got was silence. One day, she received a large box in the mail from her parents, and she was thrilled the thought that maybe they finally responded and maybe we can move beyond some of this, and when she opened that box, all she found were all the letters she'd ever sent to them unopened. These love letters of Elizabeth Barrett Browning are now a part of classic literature. The stories of a mute testimony of a girl who couldn't go home. The sad thing is much of our praying is just like those letters this morning. Because of the misery that sin brings, no doubt Elizabeth Barrett went through some hard times, not knowing how her mom and dad were doing, not connecting with them. This was a time before technology and cell phones and computers where it's so easy for us to send a text or a phone call just to check in on somebody. She wrote them every week for 10 years, begging and pleading with them. And many times that's how we approach our prayer life when we sin. We beg and we plead with God. We want him to get rid of it. We even make deals with him. God, if you take this away from me, I will fill this void. I will fill this gap for you. I will raise my kids for you, only to most of the time go back on our promises. And many times when we find ourselves doing that, we got to understand that our prayers are to ourselves and not to God. They're for our benefit. They're to try and make us feel better. And the one thing I love about God is this. We don't have to beg him. When you ask for forgiveness, he forgave you. It wasn't even a thought. It wasn't a moment of maybe he said, well, you're just going to do it again. There wasn't no moment of that. God forgave you and welcomed you back the first time. And all throughout Scripture, what we see is when people are ready to get serious and turn from their sin and go back to God, he is there waiting faithfully. For many Christians this morning, the horrors of chapter 13 are waiting for them at any given moment. Once again, I'm so glad the book of Hosea doesn't end there. But in chapter 14, this is a book that tells us of God who will receive lost sinners. It tells of a God who will take back his backsliding children. And as we saw, he said, I will heal their backsliding. All throughout the Scripture, we hear this theme, come home. My child, come home. I'm so glad that God gives us hope this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed.
Once again, thank you for listening. If you have any other questions or would like to contact a member of our staff, feel free to call us at 970-353-7635.